In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our first reading today from the book of Genesis is known in Christian tradition as the sacrifice of Isaac. This is a rather misleading title, since in fact Isaac is not sacrificed. In Jewish tradition, the episode is called more accurately the Akedah, which means the binding, since Isaac is tied up and placed upon the altar. But whatever its name, the story is one of the most profound and also one of the most problematic in all of human literature. Why should God demand the sacrifice of a beloved child? Why should Abraham obey this command, which goes against all natural instinct and human morality? Jewish and Christian scholars have wrestled with these questions for thousands of years, and there are no easy answers. But there are two basic points which may help us put the story in a proper theological perspective. The first is that God does, in fact, spare Isaac. Although Abraham is about to carry out the sacrifice, God sends an angel to stop it. God does not finally demand the unspeakable crime of a father murdering his son. Or perhaps, as some scholars argue, God intended to spare Isaac all along. And this is certainly a possibility, but we don't know for sure. And the second point is that God commends Abraham for his obedience. "I swear by myself," declares the Lord, "that because you acted as you did, in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you have obeyed my command." St. Paul, in the second reading from his letter to the Romans, is probably thinking of the Akedah as well as the crucifixion when he writes, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not give us everything else along with him?" The sacrifice that God did not ultimately demand of Abraham, he did, in fact, make himself when he allowed Jesus to die upon the cross. There was no angel to stop the crucifixion. There was no substitution of a ram for the Son of God. But the result of the crucifixion, of the sacrifice God made for us, is not death and despair. It is the prelude, we can even say the necessary prelude, to the resurrection of Jesus, to our reconciliation with God, the forgiveness of sins, and the inheritance of everlasting life. The Church is reminding us to consider the crucifixion in light of the resurrection by presenting us today with the gospel story of the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus, with three of his disciples, has gone up a high mountain, traditionally Mount Tabor, just as Abraham was led by God to take Isaac up Mount Moriah, and just as Jesus himself would later ascend the Mount of Calvary. And there Jesus is transformed and clothed in dazzling white, just as he will be after his resurrection. And he converses with the great Old Testament figures of Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets. And the voice of God is heard saying, "This is my beloved son." These words recall the description of Isaac, who was the beloved son of Abraham. And after the vision fades and they are coming down the mountain, Jesus tells his disciples not to speak of what they saw until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. As a theological problem, the death of Jesus is even more difficult than the near death of Isaac. Why did God demand such a test of obedience from his son? Why did he choose to accomplish our redemption in such a bloody and painful way? Again, there are no easy answers to such questions. But we do know that Jesus, by sacrificing himself and obeying his Father's will, purchased for us the gift of eternal redemption and brought the blessing of Abraham not only to the Jewish people, but to all the nations of the earth. And so, as Christians, we can say with confidence, in the words of St. Paul, "Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.